Welcome back to the home of explanations. You've got more than money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor with 780 years of experience. What a mystery that it is. How is that possible? I work late. I don't know. I don't go home till 6. No, it's just one of life's great mysteries, just for fun. And welcome to More Than Money. If you've been with us since 805, then you've heard a lot of great stuff. Great callers this morning. Some really, really interesting questions that we could dig into and have some real fun with. And I hope you got to hear all that. If you didn't, Monday, we'll get that posted to our website and you'll listen to the podcast. But we've got another full hour of More Than Money at your service. Please join us by calling 610-720-7900, 610-720-7900. And if that doesn't work conveniently for you, send me an email, gene@askmtm.com, gene@askmtm.com. And if you're not picking up our show as crisply as you wish, you can do it beautifully by iHeartMedia. All you have to do is log on to our website, morethanmoneyonline.com. Hit the listen live button and you're in the game. Speaking of emails, I got a number of emails. Hey, name that tune. So we'll come up with something. We'll figure something out.
I've already stepped ahead of you.
Oh, you're ready to rock.
In a moment.
Well, then and we'll do it 9:20-ish. 9:20-ish. Does that give me enough time? Well, 9:20-ish then. So, because by my calculation, 9:07 plus 2 minutes. Yeah, it's about 9:20. That's
okay.
Math being, oh, okay. 610-720-7900. So we'll do name that tune around 9:20. And happy to help. Gentleman writes, I'll be 65 at the end of the year. I intend to keep working for at least 5 more years. I really enjoy my job. I have very good insurance through my company. Do I have to sign up for Medicare when I turn 65? The have to part is a very interesting phrase because the answer is no. But you may end up regretting not signing up. And here's why. Now, first of all, our expert on all topics, Social Security, Medicare, et cetera, is Mr. Mark Basak. He's not here. If I say something not exactly correct, I'm hopeful Mark's going to square me away. But I'm pretty sure I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you pretty solid information here. So we'll do the best we can. And if I have to publish a retraction at a later date, I've done that on occasion. No, I haven't. Please. It's my understanding that Medicare itself, the Part A piece, you absolutely should enroll in. And that for the vast majority of folks who are in Medicare Part A, there's no cost. So there's no downside to enrolling. You may even find out that Part A may cover some expenses that your employer's plan doesn't. So you may end up with a little bit of an advantage there, no cost to you, and you may end up getting a little bit some of your medical costs reimbursed to you. So there's really no downside. As I understand the question for folks who are already retired and in actively using Medicare as their primary insurance, the real issue is the Part B part. The Part B of Medicare where you actually are paying premiums. That I don't believe is a requirement. I think you have to enroll in Medicare Part A. I don't think you have to enroll in Medicare Part B and pay premiums until you need to. So if I'm reading my notes correctly and I'm reading your email correctly, if you're 5 years that you're still going to be covered under your company insurance plan, you will be covered also under Medicare at no cost or very, very little cost. And then at the point where you rotate off of your insurance company coverage through through your employer, then you sign up for Medicare Part B. Hopefully that helps a little bit. The gentleman doesn't talk about applying for Social Security. So I haven't kind of addressed that, but keep in mind for everybody listening, if you decide that you will accept Social Security prior to your full retirement age, which is 66 plus for lots of folks, plus some cases just a few months, but 66 plus, then you could very possibly find yourself losing benefits. If you make more than currently, I think just over $17,000, then you lose a dollar of benefits for every $2 that you earn. So make it very simple. If you earn $37,000, $20,000 more than the limit, you lose $1 for every two. You lose $10,000 of benefits. So if your benefits were $20,000 a year, now you get $10,000. Now, that may not be dreadful. That may still be an okay thing as far as you're concerned. That may be okay or not. But you've got to be aware of that before you apply for the benefits. And by the way, if you muck this up, mucking something up is a technical term that we often use in sophisticated financial language. We talk about derivatives and standard deviation and mucking up. I think you knew what I meant. If you muck this up and you catch it, Social Security does give you a do-over, but you got to catch it within a year. It used to be that you could change your mind kind of 5 years later, pay back all the benefits that you got and do a do-over. Now you can't. It's a 12-month window. So be very, very careful. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. morethanmoneyonline.com. Not sure, mail or female. Not sure. Listener says, I have a question about an investment property I own. I recently had it appraised by a real estate agent. She said she thought it would only net me about $50,000 if I sold it. Okay. If I get some good tenants, I believe I could net income of about $8,000 a year. I recently needed to stop working, and I could sure use that income. Is there something else I could look at to invest $50,000 and get $8,000 a year of income? Okay, interesting. All right, let me think out loud here for a second. $8,000 of income off a $50,000 portfolio would be 16% return. 16% cash flow, not necessarily just return, but cash flow. First of all, holding a piece of real estate has risks, and it's a lot of work. And you're right. If you get good tenants, you could net $8,000. If you get bad tenants, you could net zero. If you got really bad tenants, it could cost you a lot of money. So 16%, $8,000 a year on $50,000 is by no means a guarantee. It's a possibility, and if everything kind of falls your way, it's wonderful, because where else would you go for 16% income? Yeah, I'm not really sure. Certainly nothing that you would call assured. Certainly nothing that you would call guaranteed. Guaranteed, you might get 3%. You might get 4%. But 16, absolutely not. But keep in mind that it is real estate. Keep in mind that there are risks. Keep in mind that there will undoubtedly be expenses that pop up that you were unexpected. But if you're comfortable with all that, if for, it's a property you've owned, if you're already comfortable with all the ups and downs of real estate, and even if there are some speed bumps along the way, 16% is a really good number. 8,000, could I replace that? I couldn't do that with any assurance. So, goodness, I think maybe that's the direction you should stay. 610-720-7900. We go to the phones. We talk to Phil. Phil, good morning.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I heard your talk just a few minutes ago on the radio about whether you have to sign up for Medicare,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, that there's no downside. Well, in our case, there is a downside because my wife is still working. She has a good health plan. Medicare, I mean, it would be primary to Medicare if we did sign up. And, okay, so you don't have to take the Part B that costs money,
mm-hmm.
and the Part A is free. Well, if you sign up for it, you cannot shunt money into a health savings account if you're enrolled in Medicare.
Yeah.
So she gets about, what is it, with the extra over $55,000, I think she's shunting about $6,000 or $7,000 a year into a health savings account, and I can, being retired, I can do $1,000. If we enrolled in Medicare, which wouldn't do us any good anyway, we wouldn't be eligible to do that, and we'd lose that benefit. Like a health savings account, that's even better than a 401k because that money never gets taxed when it comes out to pay for medical.
Yeah, Phil, you are absolutely correct. And for the vast majority of people listening, there's two things that you should know. Number one, it does not apply to you because the vast majority of the medical plans that are available today do not meet the requirements that allow employees to set up HSAs. Your wife's does. That's fabulous, and good for her that it does, and good for her that you guys can take advantage of that, and that you do take advantage of that, because the vast majority of taxpayers and employees never will have that opportunity and would not take advantage of it if they did. So number one, that's the first thing that people should know. It simply doesn't apply. Number two, in addition to the loss of the HSA, if you were to be covered by Medicare, there will also be, I'm going by memory now, a penalty for late enrollment at some point down the road. I would need Mark Basak's input to give me some sense of, is that a relatively small number and easily offset by the HSA advantage? Is it a relatively large number and the HSA advantage is largely lost to that penalty? That part I'm not sure about. I'll do a little bit of research and I'll certainly talk about it more next week. But your point about the health savings accounts, absolutely correct. If you're enrolled in Medicare, you're no longer permitted to use the HSAs, and that's a drawback.
Yeah, and I believe that the penalty that you're talking about doesn't apply if you have valid health care plan. And, you know, if you're starting late because you were already on a valid plan. So I don't believe that the penalty applies either. So.
Yeah, I disagree just by memory, so I'm going to confirm that. And I am hopeful that you are correct and that I'm wrong, because I don't want to be right on this one. I want to be wrong. I want folks to be able to use their own medical coverage until they need Medicare without any kind of penalty. But I fear that I'm right, but I'll figure it out, and we'll certainly talk more about it next week.
And I look forward to hearing more about it. I did a lot of research, and, you know, I wasn't sure, and then I asked the company, and they said I don't have to sign up for it, so, yeah, but I was never 100% sure.
Well, we'll figure it out, and I sure appreciate your call, because you certainly clarified that point, and it's a really important one.
Okay, thank you.
God bless you, Phil. Right. Take care. 610-720-7900. Phil's 100% correct, and I remember going through that as we went through the materials on Medicare, that the HSA. I would be hard pressed to remember the last client who came through our door who was actually participating in an HSA, health savings account. I mean, it is a remarkably small piece of the American employee market. But if it applies to you as it does to Phil, it's a very important piece. 610-720-7900. Gene at AskMTM.com. MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. Gentleman writes, do you see a time on the horizon when interest rates go back up to be high enough that it would be better to be in CDs rather than the stock market? And he says, I remember Jimmy Carter. Well, for those of you who remember Jimmy Carter, that's all you need to hear, because yes, during the Jimmy Carter era, and why people still keep going back to him, I'm sure he's a very nice gentleman, but they for some reason think his opinion matters. Goodness, it's you know, you have friends that if you're really struggling with a kind of some a problem, a challenge, that you like to talk it over with them, because their opinions are always valuable. And then there are others. Jimmy Carter, I think, has over his career in politics demonstrated he's kind of like, it's opposite day in his world. If Jimmy Carter says up, I'm looking down, and vice versa. So is there a time when interest rates will go that high? I'm no one knows for sure. Absolutely no one knows for sure. But interest rates are certainly making a substantial move. Will they go back to Jimmy Carter eras where CDs were 10, 11, 12% CDs? We had folks 10 years after Carter was out of office coming through the door going, what do you got that can beat 12%? Because I took a 10-year CD out for 12%. And by that time, Reagan was in, life was good, and they were getting 12% on CDs. That's fabulous. Do I see 12%? I don't. But then again, there was a time when mortgage rates were 18 and 19 and 20%. Did I see them going down to 3? No. So obviously my seeing piece, that whole psychic ability piece, you mean peanuts? Oh, yeah, Jimmy Carter. Yeah, please. So the psychic ability, don't know. Do I think that interest rates are going to go high enough that it's going to pull some money out of the stock market? I think yes. And do I think they're going to go high enough that at some point the stock market may pull back and rates of return won't be 8s and 10s and 12s, but they might be 3s and 4s and 5s? I think the answer is yes. So is it possible I see a time in the next 3, 4, 5 years where CD rates are 4.5 and 5, and that the stock market has a run of 2 or 3 years where the rates of return are under 4.5 or 5? The answer is yes. So stay tuned. 610-720-7900. We go back to the phones. We talk to Susan. Susan, good morning.
Hi, Gene.
How are you?
I'm well. I have a question about the last caller and the HSA.
Mm-hmm.
I came in and spoke to Mark Basak, and I'm confused now, so I'm hoping I got this right.
Okay.
My husband and I are going to be 65 in August. I think Mark told me that to sign up for Part A and decline Part B, which we did.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him about the health savings account.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he said we would be fine, but I double-checked. I called the company that handles our funds for that health savings account.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a health savings account. We have a flexible spending plan or
sure.
flexible...
Sure.
And they told us that we can continue to contribute to that while we are on Medicare, which we're not going to use either because my husband's working.
I understand. Now, the two things that we're talking about, health savings account, HSA, and
right.
flexible spending account, FSA, they sound remarkably similar, but they're not. And the FSA, which is the part that your husband has, the flexible savings account, is absolutely appropriate, even though you have enrolled in Medicare Part A. The HSA is not. You would be disqualified. So,
what's the difference then?
Oh, an HSA is a health savings account. It's some folks have referred to it as a health IRA, where you are voluntarily accepting a medical coverage plan that has a very high deductible. And I believe the current rule requires the deductible be at least $5,000. So you are potentially out of pocket $5,000 a year, And as an offset, the government, the rules allow you to put that $5,000 into an HSA tax deductibly, and then use it either this year or at a later date for health expenses that you may incur because of this high deductible. A flexible savings account allows you to put dollars aside for copays and for almost the nuisances of medical coverage, whether it be a deductible or a copay, those kinds of things. So they are very different plans. They are treated very differently from a Medicare standpoint. And Mark gave you the exact correct information, accepting Part A, declining Part B. Continuing with your SFA doesn't do anything negative whatsoever. You're in very good shape.
Okay, then I had one further question. I thought I had looked up, I did some research, and I thought that as long as your husband was employed or somebody was employed and you were on their health plan, when you enrolled late, it was considered a life event and you didn't pay a penalty.
Yeah, that's not my current understanding, but I'm going to confirm that with Mark as a previous caller and I discussed, and Phil and I talked about that, so we'll get a clarification on that. We'll talk about that next week.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. 610-720-7900. Gene at AskMTM.com. MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. Very good indeed. How much time, sir? And we blew right on through 9:20. So we'll do Name That Tune when we come out of the break. assuming I can get John to cooperate, we'll be doing Name That Tune when we come out of the break. Just a couple things as reminders. On Monday, we'll be helping the Love Rand Red Foundation, wonderful local organization raising funds to establish a living facilities for adults challenged with autism and other developmental issues so that they will have a place to live when their parents are no longer able to care for them. And happy to be supporting them. On Wednesday, we'll be helping the St. Francis Retreat House raise some funds at a golf tournament at Green Pond. And next Saturday, you can, not only can you, we would invite you, we would welcome the opportunity for you to come join us at the Laughing at My Nightmare 5K. It's a run, walk, roll event. So if you have limited capacities for running or even walking, just if you're in wheelchair, bring that along, or if you've got some other mechanical device or assistance. It's one of those wonderful events where everyone is welcome for all the right reasons and lots of fun, plus a live radio show, 2 hours of being enjoyed by me, you've got to come and join us. It will be great fun. All the details, by the way, for each of these events can be found on their websites, the Love Ran Red Foundation website, St. Francis Retreat House, and the Laughing at My Nightmare website. So hopefully you will join us. I got a fistful of emails. I've got a bunch of stuff still to cover here this morning, but most importantly, we want to answer your questions. So our next break is very brief. So we're going to be just a couple minutes away. So don't get too far from the radio. Plus, you don't want to miss Name That Tune. So 610, remember, Name That Tune, you got to call 610-720-7900, 610-720-7900. If you got a question you want to email, gene@askmtm.com. We'll take your emails, your questions, and more after this on More Than Money.
Keep on giving. See you.
Welcome back to the Home of Explanations. You've got more than money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor. And the first explanation I'm going to give you is, why did we not do Name That Tune when we normally do, which is in the 8:30 hour? Okay, I don't want to talk about it. No, come on. I screwed up. It's just we had great calls. And what's our priority? Our priority is you and answering your questions. So, but we're also here to have a little bit of fun. So we've got to name that tune. A tune, by the way, I have no idea what it is. And Mr. Elliott he's taking full responsibility for both the success and the crash and burn dumpster fire that this may end up becoming. So, sir, did you have something you'd like to share with the audience?
Well, yeah, you always talk about 780 years.
Absolutely.
Well, in September, I'll start my 39th year in radio.
Wow.
When I started back in college.
Yeah.
And we always look at something for a Name That Tune. We tie it into something current.
Sure, absolutely.
Or the weather. Or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
So I'll try kind of work on it while you're doing the first half hour.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, what inspired me was something that you said at the very beginning of the show.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yes.
It could be anything.
It could be.
I'm not sure I remember like 4 minutes ago. So that's a hint for our listeners.
Correct.
If they were listening early in the show, something I said.
Well, it ties in.
Yeah, it has a link. Well, are you ready? Or are we going to? All right. 610-720-7900 are good friends on the email side. Sorry. But 610-720-7900. Sir. There's something in there. I would not be able to do it. I would not be successful at Name This Tune. I wouldn't do it. Guys, remember 3-4 weeks ago, you played like literally one half of a second and I had it.
You want me to go a little bit longer?
Do you think we need to? 610-720-7900. Go ahead. I think I could do it. I think I could do it. But let's see. We'll see. Let's go to the phones. And good morning. You're on More Than Money.
Is that Don Henley? End of Innocence, I believe.
Right artist. Wrong title.
Oh, that John says right artist. Wrong title. Let's go to our next caller. Good morning. You're on More Than Money.
Hey, I wanted to try to make that tune.
Go right ahead.
Is it Heart of the Matter by Don Henley?
Oh, we have a winner. Sir. Well done. Well done.
Awesome.
Congratulations. That's very exciting. And I didn't know until you did it the second time, then I knew. Okay. Thank you very much. Hang on, sir. We're going to get your contact information. We'll send you a nice gift.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. So Johnny's all yours, and you'll get that information. Don Henley, Heart of the Matter. I'll tell you a quick story about my lovely wife Diane. When we first started dating, we both, having had previous marriages, were a little tentative, as you might expect. We were a little cautious. I had my daughter Allie. She had two little babies, Alyssa and Megan. So we were very cautious and just tiptoeing down this dating thing. And she mentioned in passing, because we enjoyed music, we both shared our enjoyment of music, and she mentioned in passing she liked the Eagles. Well, this is quite a number of years ago when the internet, finding tickets on the internet was not as smooth and elegant as it currently is, and I was noodling around, and I found that the Eagles were coming to Wilkes-Barre, and I was hopeful that I had successfully gotten tickets, had no clue what I was actually doing. It's just totally lost, but I invited her to see the Eagles. As it turned out, I had secured completely by accident seats 10th row center, and she was quite convinced at that moment that I was the most amazing human being ever invented, and the rest, as they say, is history. total accident. Total good luck. God just smiled on me and sent me to the right spot. And I just, I clicked like 93 buttons and gave them 5 credit cards. And I think that one date cost me like $40,000. I mean, it was just total accident. One of our first concerts, once I knew what I was doing, was to see James Taylor. And we ended up, our wedding song was a James Taylor song, How Sweet It Is. And so you can imagine my excitement when this past end of November, early December, I got an email announcing that the Eagles were going to be in concert in July of this year. So a month from now, month and a half from now, in Philly, and the opening act, James Taylor. So this time, knowing a little better what I was doing on the internet, I was able to secure 8th row center seats. So see, sweetheart, it only takes 15, 20 years, and we moved up 2 rows. So, not really sure I get a lot of credit for that. 610-720-7900. Gene at askmtm.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. This comes under the heading of no matter how hard I try. This is a young lady writes, I recently moved to Lehigh Valley. I really enjoy your Saturday morning radio show. Well, this started out very nice. So far, I think we just end it right there. I've heard you say many times that you do not charge your clients a fee to manage their investments. What? The crickets you hear are me standing here in abject confusion, because what she says she has heard many times, I have never said, like, ever, because it's not true. Now, I'm going to circle back to what I think she heard and why that may or may not help. So we'll see in a moment. Ooh, that's a long song, huh? Cool, thanks. John does all the calculations. John's on top of this stuff. So, because top of the hour, Don Henley, you get to hear the whole song. It's fabulous. Young Eddie writes, my money is invested. It's done relatively well. Did nicely in 2017. My advisor charges me 1% to manage my money. I'm satisfied with the way my money's invested, but like anybody else, I'm intrigued to learn how you can handle my money without charging a fee. Thank you. Okay, I have two theories. I have two theories about this young lady's assertions that I have said many, many times we don't charge a fee. One, she has heard me talk about our free second opinion meetings, where we invite anybody who's part of our More Than Money listening audience to join us in our More Than Money world headquarters, meet with a More Than Money advisor, and review your entire financial picture if you wish, soup to nuts, or any piece of it. You can talk about Social Security planning, you can talk about retirement planning, you can talk about insurance planning, you can talk about tax planning, you can talk about any piece of it or the whole thing, and there's absolutely no charge. That part is absolutely true. And I have said that many, many, many times on air. So if there's the confusion that we offer a second opinion meetings at no charge, and the reality is that if you decide that you wish us to manage your investments, we indeed do charge a fee, absolutely, then that may solve the whole issue right there. Or maybe she's not listening to our show, because there are other shows on WAEB where the hosts assert 5, 6, 7 times every 10 minutes that there are no fees, even though I would strongly disagree with their assertions. I would strongly disagree. I would fight them to the end when they tell prospective clients that they have no fees. Because last time I looked, when I go on their websites, it doesn't say Salvation Army anywhere. It doesn't. It doesn't say nonprofit, volunteer organization only. It doesn't say it anywhere. So no fees. Yeah, I'm not buying that. And sadly, that's often kind of a mantra when folks are discussing fixed indexed annuities. No fees, no fees, no fees. Well, then why are you in business? Or to be more blunt, how are you in business? If you make no money, how are you in business? Of course they do. Ask them a slightly different question. What are your commissions? And when numbers like 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12% come out of their mouths, if they're willing to answer the question at all, if they don't go through an entire tap dance routine that would make Sammy Davis Jr. envious. If they actually answer the question and tell you honestly, whew, you will fall over and then have them backpedal and try to tell you there are no fees. So either this young lady's been listening to the wrong shows and gave us credit, or she misinterpreted the absolutely, and it's absolutely true. She's absolutely correct in this regard that our second opinion meetings are free, and we're happy to offer those. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. I'm going to save that for a little later in case we get caught short. Very interesting. This is a gentleman. Gentleman writes, I'm 62. I have an IRA at Fidelity composed of a bond ladder. Yeah, it's an interesting phrase. I have one of those little giant ladders. Those are cool. I don't think they're made out of bonds, but they're a bond ladder that I set up over the past 15 years, generating approximately $60,000 a year in coupons. Bonds are mostly long-term investment grade. Call, make, whole bonds. Varying maturity dates that go out past the year 2050. Wow, that's a long time. The income is more than adequate for my needs. My question is, if and when I or my spouse reach age 70 and I'm required to take distributions, depending on the income at that time, my RMDs may or may not be more than my coupons. That's very true. I'd like to maintain my coupon stream. I am told that I can take my RMDs in kind. Is this an involved process, or is it easy for me or my spouse to accomplish? Thanks. I love your show. Well, thank you. You have a very, very interesting question. Let's be clear for the rest of the audience. A bond ladder is a phrase that describes an investment approach where bonds are purchased. Now, bonds, as you probably already know, have maturities. You lend money to someone. That's a bond. Could be you're lending it to the federal government. That's a treasury bond. You could be lending it to Johnson & Johnson. That's a corporate bond. And let's just leave it at that for the moment. So we've lent money to somebody, and they've agreed to pay us interest. That's called a coupon. Generally, that interest is paid either two or four times a year. And as this gentleman says, his coupon, his interest payments are totaling about $60,000 a year. Wonderful. Wonderful. And he's kind of committed that money out to the year 2050 and beyond. So very long term, very long term. And he's very happy. So far, this is grand. And the idea of the ladder is really quite simple. I have bonds that mature in, say, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, 9 years, 10 years. And when I get to the fifth year, when that bond matures, if I don't need the money, I take another 5 year bond. And now that will mature in year 11. And when I get to the sixth year, if I don't need it, I get another five-year bond. That matures in year 12. So I'm walking up this ladder that could go on, gosh, forever. I mean, it won't because we're not going on forever, but it could. So his question is, he apparently doing all this inside IRAs. Is the RMD thing a problem? Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Because the IRS says you got to take the money out. Initially, not a very high percentage, about 3.6%. So initially, he's probably going to be okay with just taking the interest. But that 3.6% grows year by year, and if he lives long enough or if his wife lives long enough, they will eventually reach a point where he has to take out, for example, 10%. And if his bonds are only earning 4%, that means he's got to sell some bonds. Now, he mentions taking money out in kind. Haven't seen that. That's not a very common thing. Doesn't mean it's impossible, but it's not very common at all. But let's assume, just for the sake of argument, that you can take them out in kind. You still have to pay the tax. Taking it out in kind simply says, I have a bond. It's a J&J bond, Johnson & Johnson bond. I like it. I don't want to sell it. I want to take it out. The IRS says, okay, if you take that out, you still have to pay tax. So assuming for a moment that that's $10,000, well, that's $10,000 of tax. If you have the available funds to pay the tax elsewhere, fabulous. Fabulous. Now the bond is outside of your IRA. It keeps paying its coupon. Life is grand. If you can't take it out in kind, that means you'll have to sell it inside the IRA. You have to take the money out and acquire a new bond. With whatever money is left over, you acquire a new bond and add it to your ladder. But does the IRS give you any kind of waiver, dispensation? Hey, you're off the hook because you're in a bunch of bonds? Nope. Nope. And one last observation just for fun. Bonds that are going out to 2050, buckle in, because some of your account statements over the next couple of years are going to make your head hurt. Because if you've got a 2050 bond, a bond that does not mature for another 30 plus years. Did I do the math right? Yeah, 30 plus years. And let's say you've locked it in at 3.5%. No, 3.5, not 4, 3.5. And interest rates go to 6%. That 30 plus year bond at 3.5% is the value is going to drop like a stone off a cliff. And your account statement that last month said your portfolio is worth $1 million is now going to say your portfolio is worth $780,000, and your heart is going to stop. Now, the reality is that's only if you sell the bonds. If you keep your wits about you, and if you live 30 plus years, good luck with that. God bless. You will eventually, the bond will mature. And assuming that the people you lent money to are still there and they're still solvent and they're still meeting their obligations, you will get the full amount that you invested. So if you paid $10,000, at some point it may only be worth $7,000. $6,000, but if you hold it to maturity in some of your bonds, that'll take a very long time, you get your full $10,000 back. So don't get your knickers in a twist. Okay. I saved this one because it was short, and I'm looking at our time. We got, a minute and a half before we have to start saying goodbye. I says, I am 62 years old, eligible for Social Security. Wanted to work till 65, but I'm about to lose my job. Do I need to choose between Social Security or unemployment? If so, I imagine I should pick whichever pays the most. Does Social Security keep building if I take unemployment for the maximum time? The answer is no, you don't take the most. You take unemployment and you make it work, because the longer you go between now and when you get Social Security, the higher your benefit will be, even independent of the fact that you're not currently working, you're not currently contributing. Your current benefit is going to rise about 0.5% a month. A month. So you wait 2 months, it's up 1%. 1% doesn't sound like a lot until you project it out over your lifetime. It can add substantially. So 1%, if it was going to be $2,000, now it's $2,020. You wait 4 months, now it's $2,040, $60. Waiting even a few months is very, very valuable and something that you should strongly consider. Folks, tons of fun. All right, froggy voice notwithstanding, tons of fun. A little sip. Nice. We are so very grateful to you for spending part of your Saturday morning with us. And we want to say thanks indeed. And I hope you enjoyed Don Henley coming up. But more importantly, if we can serve you throughout the week, if there are some topic, some issue, some question that you would like answered, or if you would like a second opinion meeting about your financial picture, absolutely free. You're absolutely right. All you have to do is ask. You can send me an email, gene@askmtm.com, gene@askmtm.com. You can check it out. Check us out on the website, morethanmoneyonline.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. And you can certainly go old school and call us, 610-746-7007, 610-746-7007. Folks, thanks for spending part of your day with us. We'll see you next time on More Than Money. Carrying that anger.
matter, but I think it's about forgiveness. Forgiveness.